Just want to ask you, first of all, if we could take just a moment in silence and remember Father Tom, who is obviously in a difficult place, although I'm sure if you see him, he'll be joyful and smiling and warm and loving like he always is. But a couple days from now especially, it'll keep hitting him really hard, losing his mother. So let's just pray for him and for his family for a moment, and of course also for his mother, that she might be welcomed into eternal life. Lord, we just ask you to be with Father Tom, be his consolation, be his strength, and help him in his heart continue to be in communion with his mother and to be filled with great hope for her. And receive her, we pray, into your eternal embrace. Eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon her. May her soul and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. Now, if I can ask you to pray for me for a moment. We have a whole lot of gospel today, and I can't talk about all of it. So if you just pray that I do focus on the things the Lord wants me to focus on, and I'll pray that you're able to hear what he wants you to hear. And let us entrust each other and our prayers to Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We heard just a little bit of Jesus' great homily. I'm not going to preach as long as him, as he did. He preached for 3 chapters of Matthew's gospel. Probably people would be falling over if we just read his whole homily here. But there's so much there. And it's a homily that he preaches not in the middle of the city. He doesn't preach it to those who have never seen him or who don't know who he is. He's preaching this homily to disciples. He's preaching this homily to people who have chosen to follow him, who have seen in him something more than they see elsewhere. They see in him the hope of a different future. They see hope that their lives could change, that their hearts could change, that he has something to offer them that nobody else has. So they follow him, wanting to know how to be more like him. Who is this? And how do I be like him? How do I love like he does? Where does he get this power from? Where does he get this truth from? They're already captivated, fascinated, interested. They follow him out to the mountain. This is the same group that's going to follow him and not eat for 3 days. Because they're so captivated by what he has to offer. That's who he's speaking to. And I don't think we can really read these words unless we're in a place of being captivated like that. If we read these words with a moralizing tone, oh, Jesus is telling me what I'm not supposed to do. Well, line up. So is everybody else. Who cares? We won't get much from this magnificent sermon. We just heard 20 verses of 200 verses. But if we take a step that probably most of us have already taken at least once, probably lots of times, because we have to keep taking it again and again, to take up the choice to follow him, to really be his disciples. Each one of us is called to be like those who heard him in the gospel today, disciples. And that means that we learn from him. Like an amateur or a novice carpenter learns from a master carpenter, not even so much by hearing words or having instructions. We don't learn to be expert carpenters by reading a piece of paper and following a recipe. We learn to be an expert, a master, by watching the master. And that's what Jesus is calling us to do. And it's, by the way, one of the really exciting things that's happening in the Diocese of Pittsburgh right now, which makes me very envious. It's very easy to focus on, oh, parish reorganization, parish closings, priest shortage, financial shortage, dot, dot, dot. That's not the point. The point of what's happening, what has generated this whole thing, of which the reorganization, etc., is a reality and it's the first step, but I see it as a step to kind of shake the tree and say, where are the Christians? Where are the disciples? Let's make some disciples. What would happen if all of us really had this fixation with Jesus, that we followed him, even to the point of not eating for 3 days because we just weren't willing to break away from this man who is God, who can teach us everything. And the whole thing that's going on mission in Pittsburgh is about making disciples. Again, that's something that all of us are in a process of one way or another, but making it explicit, stepping forward and really saying, I want Jesus to be the center of my life. And I'm going to turn to him first and foremost to learn from him, to watch him. When we read this gospel in that light, something different happens. There's so much here. And again, I can't recommend enough Matthew 5, 6, 7. Read it at home. Reflect on it. Allow yourself to be challenged. Let your life change. Let's try something different. So many times that we keep doing the same thing and it's just not working. What about something different that we learn from Jesus? But I just want to focus on 2 points. And these are points that I was reading because I read this again too. I don't know all of these things inside and out. I'm not Jesus. I didn't make this homily that he preached to us in the gospel today. I keep being challenged by it and I try to place myself before him as a disciple because I too am watching the hands, the heart, the voice of the master so that I can become more like him because I really, really want that. I really want to be like Jesus. Two of the things that I heard in today's gospel. First of all, he makes a distinction between things that are happening in us. He talks about what's happening in the heart, things like looking at a woman with lust or having anger in our hearts, having something against our brother. He makes a distinction between what's happening inside of us, which might be different than what we're saying or what we're doing. Those are all 3 different things. What we're feeling, what we're saying, or rather what we're feeling, what we're thinking, what we're doing. So there's different stuff going on in there. And Jesus says, keep working to make it all the same. Let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. Even if you're holding yourself back from killing your brother, but you're still allowing that anger to cultivate in your heart. That's a distinction. I'm not doing it, but I am feeling it and thinking it. Now, there's a difference between things that fly into our minds. We have lots of thoughts that fly into our minds, but there are ones that we grab hold of and we start to work with. Like, somebody cuts us off in traffic and we think, oh, that guy is a jerk. And then we allow that to start to fester and we hold on to that and we yell out the window at him. Or maybe we don't yell out the window at him, but we want to. And we really hold on to that. That's different than the thought came into my mind. And then actually what I do is I go and I see, I felt threatened. Usually anger comes up as a response to fear. I make myself more powerful by becoming angry to protect myself from something that threatens me. And the more interesting thing is happening at the level of hurt and fear. And if I can not hold on to that angry thought, but just let it pass by and then go deeper, what's happening in my heart? And this is the kind of personal awareness, self-awareness, interior awareness that Jesus is inviting us to, so that we can become really transparent. People who are transparent are so beautiful. There's no question what's happening. It's written all over their faces. We love that. And that's what we see in little babies and little children. It's one of the things that delights us because they're so transparent. Even their, sometimes they're not even saying, you know, I don't want to go to bed. I can stay up. I'm really awake. Like, everybody's looking at you and knows you're not awake. Come on now. To be really transparent, to be the same inside and outside, and to be good all the way through. That's what Jesus wants for us. And the second, just very quickly, Jesus says, if you have something against your brother, leave your gift at the altar, go reconcile with your brother, then come back to the altar. And this is what I hear in that. Jesus is saying that what we do out there has to do with what we do here. We go out, we come back, and there needs to be a correspondence between what we do here, which is to be filled with love, to be filled with mercy and forgiveness, to offer everything we have, to try and grow in discipleship. What we're doing here really matters, and then we go out and we live it, and then we come back again. And that's the movement that he's directing us to, so that this has to do with that. So that, again, our life doesn't become fragmented, just like we want our thinking to match up with our feeling and our doing. We also want our doing here to match up with our doing out there. And in this way, we become whole. God wants to make us whole so that we're not just good sometimes, so that we're good all the time, so that we're not just good on the outside, but we're good on the inside. That's what God is committed to doing in our lives if we're willing to let him. Can we take up that step of discipleship again today and invite Jesus to be the center and say, Lord, I want to be good all the way through, inside and outside, in the church and out of the church. I want truly, truly to be like you, Jesus.